You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
There's that sound. Hour number three on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So Roto Experts in the Morning, and George brought up a great topic before the break, and we're going to talk about it now in a minute. I got some tweets from somebody, Richard Hinkman, listening to us at Harry Hinks DFS. He is saying, Tony mentioned the NHL team is in Kansas City, but this guy is saying that the next MLB team in Nashville needs to happen. There's always been that rumor for a long period of time. People talking about the Rays can't get a stadium done.
Yeah, but they're stuck there. They can't get out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I can't remember what the situation is there. They still are locked in there for a bunch of years. They'd have to buy it out.
And that's not going to happen.
Which is probably a huge,
That's the Tampa Bay Rays. So stadium situation's horrendous. So is Oakland. Oakland will have a better chance of moving.
Yeah. There's rumors about the A's going to Vegas, but I mean, the A's have been locked in for so long. They've tried many, many times to get a state. We talk
San
about
Jose. They can get one in San Jose, but the Giants won't let them out.
Giants, I wouldn't do that either.
The thing is, what's wrong is the A's. Remember, when the Giants weren't always around, the A's allowed the Giants to come in, and the Giants now won't return the favor. You know, it's pretty screwed up when you think about it.
I know, but that's the business that they're in, right? Like, the Giants have carved out that area for themselves. It's not like there's no A's fans in San Jose, but it is really the Giants territory. You would call it the Giants territory. I don't really blame them all that much, but at the same time, we talked about how the Chargers tried hard to get a stadium deal done. The A's have tried so many times to get this done, and Selig, it seems odd because I've read some stories about it. Selig was like buddies with the A's ownership, but still couldn't get this over the top. You would have thought he would go to the mat for them. They play in a miserable park.
It seemed like Selig just said, "Oh, you know what? I'm leaving in a couple of years. I'm not dealing with this."
Yeah, but
keep pushing it off. Because this should have been solved. I mean, the A's and the Rays, really. I mean, those stadiums are jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, something has to be done. I think the A's might eventually have to move.
But I think but the A's rumors are all about Las Vegas and not necessarily Nashville.
Be interesting, Las Vegas, man. It has to be a dome, right? Can't play in a can't play outdoors there. Day games, you'd be dead.
Or it'd be just like the Rangers do it. You got to play all night games.
Yeah, Vegas is more, that heat is much worse than Texas.
You know, it is worse.
114, 115 degrees. Forget
it is
that.
Worse, but I mean Arlington gets up to in the hundreds every day too. But to your point, you'd probably have to think about a dome.
It'd have to be a dome. You'd have no choice there. And listen, hockey's there. The Raiders certainly look like they're going there. God bless. Insane.
Vegas is rounding out nicely, at least on paper. They are going to have a hockey team. That's official. And
it makes all the sense in the world for the NHL to test that market first. The NHL, really, what can go wrong? They need all the publicity they can get, good or bad, so it's good for the NHL to test this.
Yeah.
You know, the Raiders aren't going to wait for them. They're jumping in. I think that vote comes up next month.
Yeah,
or March to find out if they'll get the 24 votes needed. That's not, people think it's a done deal. That's not a done deal.
Absolutely not. And the franchise fee is exorbitant for them to do that. This is not like a drop in the bucket. They're paying nine figures in order to make this move.
So I'm curious to see how that works there. But Nashville baseball, but you need a second baseball team. That's, baseball's coming in pairs. We really need two more baseball teams, and what else is going to get the team? I think as far as Nashville, it would be a current team leaving.
Yeah. So we'll see. But, yeah, we'll keep our eye on that. I think there's obviously room to support baseball there. College baseball is really big in the South. Nashville has a minor league team, so we'll continue to see that. But George brought up an interesting topic, and feel free to give us a call on this because I would love to hear these stories at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. Or hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. What is your worst Super Bowl party that you've ever been to? I got a couple of stories. George, I'll let you go first.
All right. My worst one was this happened in maybe late 90s, early 2000s. Go to a party. And it starts off well, and it's a mixed men, women, probably about 20 of us, I'd say.
Mid-90s, you said?
No, it's either late 90s, early 2000s.
Dating your wife?
Wife wasn't there. Don't remember if I was married at the time or not. I'm going to say...
How long have you been married?
I've been married 16 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't remember.
But you might have been dating. You were.
She might have been working.
Her. Right.
You know, my wife was a nurse. She works nights. It's a chance she had to work that
I'm
night.
I'm just trying to figure out if, like, you're a single man or you're...
My wife, coincidentally, always seems to have to work Super Bowl Sunday. Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but always seems to have to work it. Go figure.
She doesn't have to. She just wants to. I think that's obvious.
So do I. I don't blame her. But anyway, so I'm at the party, and it starts off well. We have a poker game going before the... And that's fantastic. Poker goes well. Mm-hmm. I didn't win, but it went well.
How many people at this party?
About 20, I'd say.
Mixed crowd.
Mixed men, women. Some like football, some don't.
Okay.
And I'm there with a good friend of mine, you know, and he's a football guy, too.
Sure.
And, you know, it ends up being... They're pausing. We're watching the game now, but they keep pausing the commercials because someone had to get up to go to the bathroom. They don't want them to miss the commercials. Now, granted, this is not in the age of Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. No social media yet. But at one point, because this keeps going on for literally an hour, we're like 25 minutes behind the game now. And I'm starting to go insane. I'm like, can we, really? Because Jenny had to go take a wee-wee? We got to pause this for 2 minutes? Are you kidding me? You know, my steam is starting to come out of my ears a little bit here. And then I see my friend goes, why are we here? And I was like, great, let's just get the hell out of here. We start making up a story. Oh, you know, I was living with somebody at my time. Oh, so I was married then. I was living. Oh, no, he left his key. I got to go home. You know, and like, we just left. And because I recorded the game at home, so I wasn't going to miss anything.
Right.
You know, but it's like, you got to be. We were pausing the game to watch commercials because somebody got up to go to the bathroom. And this is every commercial because 20 people, there's always someone going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's like,
you couldn't do that. You absolutely, first of all, it'd be irritating to do that now.
You can't do it
you
now.
Can't, but you can't do it now. Right.
Because social media, my phone be blowing up with scores.
Absolutely. I get hammered with texts, and I would stay off of Twitter, obviously, in that instance. But yeah, you just get hammered with texts, and people would ruin stuff for
right.
you. It's happened to me before where I've like paused the game and forgotten to fast forward it, and I've got
burned on that as well.
Yeah,
sure.
You got to be mindful of it, but you can't do it during the Super Bowl. There's just too much going on.
Listen,
and even worse, somebody in the room would blow it up for you. Be like, ah, Pats just scored? Like, they'd be playing poker. Be like, ah, the Pats just scored? I saw it on a text message or on Twitter. You'd be like, dude, we're a minute behind because Sally didn't want to miss the puppy baby monkey commercial.
Listen, I'll be on the phone with a friend of mine. And you know, I'll have the cable feed. He'll have the DirecTV feed, and he won't let me talk because he's afraid. I think cable is generally 3 seconds ahead of DirecTV, whatever it is. So he's like, oh, "I gotta call you back. You're ahead of me."
I went to a party like early 2000s where the guy had two TVs set up, and one was the HD TV, and one was the regular feed. And half the room could see the regular feed more easily than the HD feed. And the HD feed was like 2 seconds off. So every time every time something happened, we would just be getting it ruined for us because a Pats fan would be cheering for something that happened. I think it was like the Panthers-Pats Super Bowl. Anyway, so all right, so that's your worst one. I would say, and I don't know. So I was in, I was living in Boston. I had just graduated from school. It was the 95. Our teams faced off. Steelers-Cowboys. The first time the Steelers had been in the Super Bowl since I was a little kid. I was really excited, thought they had a shot. Neil O'Donnell, obviously we know what happened there. He goes on to throw two horrendous interceptions. But
they were great interceptions, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Larry Brown really, really read those plays nicely. I mean, I never think that people throw games or anything like that, but Neil O'Donnell certainly raised the question that day. In any event, I was home for the weekend, home being like at my parents' house or something like that, and I don't know why I had to be home. Maybe it was because I had this specific party to go to, but it doesn't make sense. In any event, I was home.
Listen, you're doing laundry, you can say it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't bring laundry all the way from Boston. I was a pretty self-sufficient guy, even at the ripe old age of 22.
It was supposed to be a little hike for laundry.
Yeah. So, the party was with friends that I grew up with, and it was in the Bronx. I grew up in Queens. I was born in the Bronx. But the party is in the Bronx at a place that I'm not going to mention. I don't think it's in existence anymore. Anyway, it was like some sort of family connection. We got this room in the back, and it's at a restaurant. We're going to have food. Just pay like $50. You'll have food. All you can drink. Good to go. I'm like, fine. We go there, and it's sort of like round kind of catering-style tables, but the TVs are fine. I don't really want to be in a big room like that. I'm kind of, because I'm so into the Steelers, and I just don't want to do it, but it was the best option I had available to me, and it seemed okay. And all I know is that it's going to be food and drink. And the game, so the game is going on as it goes, and it gets to halftime, and they start playing music. And it's a certain kind of music that I'm like, oh, man, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? And they bring out halftime entertainment. Exotic dancing type of entertainment.
That yeah, I got it.
Did not know was going to happen. So it was kind of awkward because, first of all, it's in this, like, it's in a restaurant. Not the the people that are in the actual part of the restaurant can't see. This
right,
is a private room.
I get it.
But there's like dads and grandfatherly type aged guys that are in the midst of this. And the dancers are in the middle of the room and they're being like tipped and all this other kind of stuff. And I don't even know these guys. And they're like my dad's age and older. And it just got really awkward for me personally. I don't think anybody else felt that awkward, but I was just like, I didn't drive there, so I can't even get out. But I don't want to like be the guy that runs out of the room because this is happening. And I think I just sort of quietly excused myself and went and watched the whatever halftime was going on.
I think your first mistake was, if you're a fan of the team, you don't want to go someplace.
That was the problem. And so I've never done that again. I've never gone to a out to watch the Super Bowl. I just controlled environment, my apartment, my house.
I don't know if I've ever
house.
Been to a place to watch. I mean, I've been to people's houses, friends' houses, but I don't know if I've ever been to a place to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like I've never gone to like a Buffalo Wild Wings or something.
Right,
like
yeah.
That,
I don't even do that on the Sundays anymore now that we have the ticket. Yeah. Back in the day, I would go to a sports bar, sure, to watch all the games, which I actually loved.
Me too. I actually did that when I was younger, too.
That was great.
So I used to go to a bar in downtown here. We're in Midtown Manhattan in Rock and Riley's in the Renaissance Hotel on 35th Street. I used to go down to a place called Off the Wagon, which you can imagine what kind of crowd that attracts. But they had great wings and they had cheap beer. And I used to go watch with all my buddies and it was a great time.
It is. I mean, you go, once again, you go with your friends and generally you meet people. Most people are generally clean if they don't like your team because you're having fun. Yeah, they're drinking, eating, and just watching all the games, you know, over screaming and yelling when your team scores, wins, loses. Always had a great time doing that.
Yeah, we'd have a regular thing. We'd go for the 1 o'clock games, sort of take that till maybe halftime of the 4 o'clock games, go home, watch the rest of the games at home. That was
pretty similar.
That was kind of, you know, occasionally gets extended. You're having a good time. You're having a good day. It goes a little bit longer. If you're not having a good day, you leave after the 1 o'clock and then call it a day. But I used to have a lot of fun doing that. This is before I was broadcasting, before I had kids and all this kind of stuff. It was a younger, single man, and it was just kind of fun to be out and about in Manhattan. But
now, my family knows football Sundays are mine.
Yeah.
You know, I had one little funny little story back when my oldest daughter was probably 2 or 3. She had this Elmo doll. You know, and like most kids, if you don't have kids, they when they take their naps, they generally have to have their certain teddy bear, whatever it is, with them. You know, even my my 6-year-old today has to have this this dog of hers. But my daughter at that age, my oldest Dakota, had an Elmo doll. Doll was only about maybe 10 inches long, little Elmo, and I, red freak, hated him. You know, but she had to have this thing. And football Sunday, you know, I want to put it down for a nap. You know, strategically put it down in twos, so she'll sleep through most of the games. Excellent. Can't find the doll.
Oh.
I imagine all parents have done, but I'm ripping the house apart now, and I'm freaking out because I'm missing games. You know, I got the TV on loud in the back, you know, the Red Zone channel, and I noticed my daughter's got this evil little look on her face. And I'm like, oh, would a 2-year-old really do this on purpose? Hide this thing where I can't find it? Because then she's giggling. And I don't know if she's giggling because she sees me panicking and she thinks it's funny that I'm freaking out, or if she actually, or she knows I'm not going to be able to find it. I do find it, and it was hidden. It was in like the, you know, something, little toy truck she plays on, rides on. It was hidden underneath
the bed.
You
had that moment where you're like begging the 2-year-old to please communicate with you, and they can't.
Or won't.
Right.
She knew what the doll was, and I was asking her where it was. Brat.
Yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen. I've been down that road.
That's right. When she has to come in at 5 o'clock tonight, that's why. Yeah. It happened 8 years ago.
Yeah. So I have a a good story that I will tell after the break, and it happened at a good Super Bowl party that turned awkward, more awkward than the other thing I was talking about with the dancers. So I'll tell that story, and feel free to fire any awkward Super Bowl stories or bad Super Bowl parties that you've been to after the break on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Mike and George back after this. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kudos to Roger Federer for taking down the Australian Open this morning. He's a champ yet again, so I'm not sure how much longer he has left in his career, but good to see him get another Grand Slam under his belt. So, now, I wouldn't say this is my worst Super Bowl party ever, George, but it's probably more awkward than the last story I told you, because this wasn't
possible.
It is, I think, because it was just such a bold move. And my friend who did it, it is no surprise that he would do something like this. But this was a controlled environment. So living in Boston, myself and a few friends were having a party, and it's a mixed crowd. It's we had had the Super Bowl party for several years in a row, and it had grown. We had a pretty decent setup TV-wise and viewing-wise. We had a fairly spacious living room. In any event, we had a bunch of guys and our buddies and a bunch of girls that were friends of ours and probably some girlfriends in there and their friends, and it had grown. I would say it's probably like a few dozen people. Like, we're maybe at 35 people at this party. Some people are coming just for the fun and the drinks. We had a kegerator in our house, so it was really easy to obtain mass quantities of beer. We'd go get a keg, and it would be cold. It was in a fridge with a CO2 thing hookup. It was not a wise thing for guys that are 24-year-olds to have access to all the time, because you'd come home on a Tuesday night from work and be like, sure, I'll have four cold beers before I go to bed. It's always not always the smartest thing to do. In any event, for the Super Bowl, it was great. We got apps. We had a cooking competition where people faced off against one another. Good times. And the beers are flowing for a few hours. And we had one of these old TVs. It was like the type that were set within the furniture. You know, it was like a piece of furniture with the tube in there. It was something that my buddy took from like his parents' house. This is the late 90s, mid to late 90s. So this is before the onset of HD televisions and all that kind of stuff. So that was our best bet. Now, we had it propped up in such a way that it was a pretty good viewing angle. And, you know, a couple of my friends and roommates, they used to partake. They used to, you often say, smoking the wacky stuff. Well, those guys partake. They're in favor of you know, marijuana legalization and whatnot. So we had on hand a bong. And they would keep the bong behind the television, which you couldn't see. It was a sizable bong, but you couldn't see it behind the television. And that's just where they would keep it. That's where they would store it. I don't know why. It just seemed like the best place. The problem is, at halftime of this Super Bowl, is the game. I don't remember even which game it was. I'm going to guess it's the Broncos-Falcons Super Bowl. I'm going to guess that's what it was. Anyway, it gets to halftime. And keep in mind, this is a mixed crowd. There's like work people over, that people, some people work with, that are friends with. So we don't know all these people. Well, my one friend decides at halftime he's going to expand the party and overreach the party beyond alcohol. And he walks during halftime, as people are watching TV, watching the commercials, walks over, grabs it from behind the television in full view of everybody, and saunters right back out of the room. And people are looking at each other like, did he just do that? Like, what? What was that? Did it just happen? I mean, maybe it's not the most shocking thing to happen at a party full of 20-somethings, but I can say it was pretty awkward. And I was like, dude, like, you work with a couple of these people, and other people work with these other people. Maybe not everybody's on the same page. He's like, yeah, you know, how guys are. Like, ah, you're just being uptight. Don't worry about it. Everybody's going to be fine. And, like, nothing happened. It's not like somebody went and called the cops, but I just thought it was one of the bolder, more awkward moves that you could pull off at a mixed company Super Bowl party.
probably not the smartest choice.
Yeah, I would say so. So that's kind of, you know, that's how my friends were rolling, I guess, in the mid-90s. That's where we're at. But
I want to think ahead, maybe not hide it behind a TV where everyone's going to be.
Yeah, like maybe plan ahead and put it where you're going to use it.
Under the bed?
Something like that. Yeah. I would think that would be the smarter move. But in any event, that's what happened there. So that's my awkward Super Bowl party. I don't think I've had anything else that awkward happen in subsequent years. I've always just been watching the games at people's apartments and people's houses from here on out. I'm going to have very few people over my house. I'm just going to settle in, watch the game. The kids go to bed around 7. So the first quarter will be a little bumpy for me. I might even have to put it on pause, but then I'll catch up
to it. If you're at home, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll skip through some commercials. I don't even care about the commercials. Like, people are always, like, I just don't care. I'm not the guy that has to rank the Super Bowl commercials.
Oh, God, no,
I'm not into it. I find it to be overplayed, and they're really never – there's most of them aren't funny or impactful to me, so I'm just – I don't really care. Yeah. I'm going to get up, get myself a drink, get something to eat during the commercials, and let other people judge that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I couldn't care less about the commercials.
Do we have – we have to have somebody on our staff, on our Roto Expert staff, that is probably the guy that is going to write up the Super Bowl commercials? Who's into that?
It sounds like Sussman, doesn't it?
Yeah, like Greg would be into that. Like on sportsgrid.com, which you go to sportsgrid.com for all our sports-related news and other items of interest, that seems like something Sussman would do, and he'd be into that. I would probably read it, but I find myself reading articles about the top Super Bowl commercials that got the most buzz without even actually having seen those commercials.
I'm not. It's
like the puppy monkey baby thing. I've seen it, but I don't even remember what Super Bowl that was from, and I still don't even get the commercial.
Some of them are funny. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not drinking Mountain Dew.
Some of them are funny.
I don't want to drink Mountain Dew, and the puppy baby monkey is not going to help me.
The Doritos ones are generally kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, I'm not here to watch commercials. I'm just not here. I'm looking at my schedule now. The wife is off, so I imagine we will go someplace. Generally, that's what we do. If not, maybe I'll go next door if my neighbor's having a party.
You go someplace meaning just a party.
Yes, we're not going out.
Yeah.
My wife knows I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
And it'll be at some place where I know I can watch the game.
Yeah, usually what happens with me the last few years, it starts out a little rocky because I'll probably have like my in-laws over. Just they'll hang out and just help with the kids and watch the game. They'll usually leave at halftime. The kids are already in bed by then. My wife gets so tired, she's just out. She's like an early to bed type of person. And then second half is glorious. I'm like solo, just on the couch by myself.
Well, kids will be up through the whole game. Certainly my oldest. My youngest might fall asleep at some point. No. They'll both check it out for a little bit. My oldest, Dakota, does like football, but she's not going to watch a 3-hour game.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask. Yeah.
Now she might sit there with her iTouch, which she's in love with now. You know,
So she can like just chill on the couch and do what she wants to do.
That, but she's not like, oh, who's winning? You know, every 2 seconds.
But she can't be having sound on the iTouch, or she's got to have her headphones in, right?
Bingo.
Can't do that. I always find that odd. That's like a new thing that I have to deal with is people using other devices in the room where the TV is. It drives me crazy, whether it's talking on the phone or messing with the phone or playing a video on there.
Playing it out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Drives me nuts.
I mean, get your headphones.
But I think people that are younger than us, say millennials down, that it doesn't occur to them that that's a distraction.
It's rude.
It is.
I mean, it's not. I forget. It's actually rude. You mean unless you got there first, that's different.
Yeah.
Then the person turning on the TV is actually mistaken.
Yeah.
But if the TV's on, someone's paying attention.
Frankly,
if
there's one main room where people watch television, you got to move.
Yeah. Listen, bring your headphones. We all do. I bring my headphones everywhere.
Yeah, me too. Anytime I have my phone, and I'm walking around with my phone, I'm either talking on it or about to talk on it. Say I'm like during a work day, and I'm running through phone calls. I always have my headphones in. Right. So
headphones,
I don't
Bluetooth, whatever you got to use. Yeah, I think that's
curmudgeonly, standard. George? Like, are we the curmudgeonly guys that are?
I don't think that. Listen, I think that's just basic rude. If you're listening to something and someone puts something else on that you can no longer listen to it, how is that being curmudgeonly?
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't do that to you. If I walk into Mike and Mike's watching TV, I'm not going to blast music.
Yeah, it's odd. I've been with people that are not as old as me that don't seem to find this to be rude or don't recognize initially that it's rude. But Pete Considori, would you do something like that?
No, I think it's rude too.
Yeah, all right. So I'm just making sure. Just trying to spread the word on your mores, customs, acceptable mores while watching the Super Bowl or any TV for that matter. If you're just watching Walking Dead or whatever, throw in some headphones and deal with it. So that's where we're at. I got my awkward Super Bowl parties out of the way. Pete, do you have any awkward Super Bowl moments, any terrible Super Bowl parties that you had to do? I mean, you're kind of fresh out of school, so there had to be a moment where you weren't loving the situation that you're in.
Honestly, no. I've spent a lot of the Super Bowls just at my house, either with family or some just close friends.
That's
nothing
smart.
Too crazy. I went to my girlfriend's house a couple times. Everything was tame, so I don't have any awkward or bad stories yet. I still have a lot to go, so...
Yeah, you do.
They'll come, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll add them to my repertoire someday.
Yeah, you're going to have them in time. Are you going to do any Super Bowl boxes, George?
If they come up, sure.
Yeah.
I won't search for them.
Yeah.
No, but if so, you know, if I happen to be at a party, whatever, someone say, $5 for a box, sure, why not?
Yeah, my a good friend of mine had, in the Raiders-Bucks Super Bowl, he had the score. Remember Dwight Smith returned a touchdown pass with 2 seconds left? That knocked him out of like a $40,000 payday.
Yeah, there are always bad beats like that.
That was one of the worst beats ever. Because he started to tell me the story. He's like, let me tell you a story about what happened when I almost won $40,000. I was like, was it the Dwight Smith touchdown? He was like, how'd you know? And I'm like, because that's the worst beat ever. You know, for the regular gamblers that had the spread and the over, that was all good to go. But if you had a box, and I think it landed on, was it both ones or something like that?
That
it was
matter.
Crazy. But in any event, Dwight Smith is
one
of the worst.
No matter what numbers you get nowadays, you're not out with the extra point. No one can hit those anymore. You get a lot of weird scores now.
I agree with you. And I'm sure I'll get involved in that. Pete, are you in on Super Bowl boxes?
I'm not, but I'm like George. I won't go searching for them, but if they're offered, I'll probably throw a couple of bucks down in a box.
We should probably throw one together with our staff. So we'll talk about that and more after the break. It's Mike and George, half an hour to go on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Just kicking around, looking at some stuff here. But I wanted to go back to the quarterback discussion we were having earlier, George. Because we left it at the teams that were really sort of in trouble or really having to plan in the immediate future for quarterback situation. There's a few others that we left hanging out there, and that's the Texans. Obviously, they are committed to Brock Osweiler's contract. They played a little bit of Tom Savage here during the year before he got hurt. But you expect moving forward that Brock Osweiler, it's really Brock Osweiler's job to lose, but he will be challenged, and he won't be guaranteed the job, right?
Texans are an interesting case here because they're a good team, right? I think they have all the pieces are in place there. You have the running back Lamar Miller. I mean, I don't think he's great, but he's a good running back. Offensive line's good. Receivers are good. Hopkins, Fuller should be up and coming here. Fedorowicz, you're going to have a solid tight end. Defense we know is good. Should he be better with J.J. Watt next year? All the pieces are really in place.
The only thing they should be focusing on this offseason is improving the offensive line. And now, because of the quarterback play, they have another
cap
question.
$19 million for Osweiler next year.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now. They're $147 million, 51 contracts for next year. So they do have some space. $25 million.
The only other thing I would note on their defense is that AJ Bouye is a rising defensive back star. He's an unrestricted free agent.
But that's not a.
And Jonathan Joseph is a year older. I'm just saying the cornerback position is something they may have to address.
It's all about the quarterback.
Yeah.
None of this matters. Tony Romo makes a whole lot of sense there. I mean,
I agree, but
if only
it's
going to
be like another $19
million. That cap hit. That's really, I mean, well, you can, remember,
you can
finagle
it a little bit.
Right. You could finagle it where the cap hit's smaller next year than huger in 18.
Like guarantee Tony Romo all of his 2 years at whatever number.
Right. I mean, there's ways around it. It would still be a very high cap number for two quarterbacks, no matter how you do it. It's going to be 25.
So what if you gave Tony Romo a two-year, $30 million deal? Two-year, $40 million deal, guarantee half of it.
I don't think we need to discuss money. It can be done.
Yeah.
The question is, would they be willing to... I'm not even saying give up on Osweiler, but go to Romo this year. Osweiler is getting out of his contract. Is really next year is the year they can do it. Next year, as far as 2018,
yeah,
where without him being a cap killer, can't really do it this year.
Yeah,
you know, so you really must have to keep Osweiler here. Is it fair to give Osweiler only 1 year? No, although it doesn't seem like Bill O'Brien ever wanted him. This seems to be more of a GM thing.
It created rumors that Bill O'Brien wanted out of the job,
right,
because he didn't sign off on it.
Yeah, you know, and he doesn't really want to use. That's why I wonder. It does make sense.
Either. That's a dysfunctional situation, by the way.
Absolutely.
For you to force that guy on that head coach?
I think there are two teams that make... I would say three teams that, if you look at Romo specifically, that make a lot of sense for Romo. And Texans are one of them. Because they're
who are the others,
win now,
in your opinion?
KC has the same exact situation. Alex Smith making a little less of a cap hit. Yeah. And then Denver. You know, I don't think any of them are going to go this direction, mind you. Mm-hmm. But if you want to make the argument of what makes sense...
So if you think none of them are going to go that route, then where does he end up?
I don't know. Because I think, one, Jerry Jones is not going to just take the best offer. I don't think Jerry Jones wants to hurt Romo as far as putting him on a bad team. You know, I think...
San Francisco, New York, Buffalo.
Chicago. You made the argument Buffalo may not be bad. Yeah, maybe. You know, I think... I should say bad team. I should say put Romo where he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's going to do that because Romo means a lot to that organization, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know where he's going to end up because I don't think these... If he's so hard, like I said, Houston, $19 million cap hit with Osweiler to eat that, that's tough. I'm looking at KC now to find out what their cap hit... I know I checked this before with Alex Smith. It is... If my computer would love to tell me, Alex Smith is 16.9 cap hit next year. So you're talking exorbitant amounts. You know, Denver, I know Romo was spotted with John Elway at the whatever.
An added
something.
Complication for the Chiefs, who are also on this list.
They have no cap space.
Nick Foles' salary spikes to $10.4 million in 2017, so they'd have a backup at $10 million.
I think they can move on from him, though.
I would imagine they would.
But they have no cap space. That's why Casey's got another problem.
Right. So, the Texans are in an interesting predicament. The thing is,
you don't have so many chances to where you can honestly say you can win.
Yeah,
Texans do, but with Osweiler, you don't. That's the problem.
Right.
You're never going to beat Tom Brady. Not that you could with Romo either, but you're not going to beat Tom Brady with Osweiler. There's no chance in hell. You said it earlier. New England played horrible in that playoff game. Still won by 3 scores.
Yeah.
I mean, that just tells you
something. They won going away in the fourth quarter.
And they were terrible that game. They gave Houston every chance on the planet to win that game, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to win with Osweiler.
Yeah. Not entirely Osweiler's fault, but he didn't play well. Will Fuller has to catch that touchdown pass, but still, he threw 3 picks. So. Yeah.
And with KC with Alex Smith, you wonder at the same time. He is what he is. He can bring you a certain level, but to beat the elite teams, he's not going to be a team that can score points.
Yeah.
He's just not. He can't do that.
In this tier here, where they have 1 year to act at most, we've talked about Cardinals, Bears, Texans, the Jaguars. I think it's really like Blake Bortles sort of.
No, they've hung their. They're with Bortles.
Yeah,
I think that's why they didn't want a head coach who didn't want Bortles. They didn't want a GM who didn't want Bortles.
Yeah.
So they're going with Bortles.
And I think if Bortles played bad enough, then he could get benched, obviously.
I think Bortles gets another year.
Yeah. I think this is his prove-it year. He's thrown 51 interceptions since 2014. It's one fewer than the league leader, which is Philip Rivers, actually. 32 career interceptions when his team led or trailed by no more than one score.
Ouch.
So close games, not good. That's the most in the NFL since 2014.
That's painful to hear.
Some Vikings, I think we talked about the Bradford Bridgewater situation.
Yeah, they've already got two, so.
His deal runs through 2017, costs $18 million.
Plus, you can't put Romo on Minnesota.
Only
$4
million is guaranteed.
He won't last the preseason.
That's right. They have too many offensive line issues. Even the guys they drafted couldn't play well. So, category all by themselves, the New England Patriots, because you have Tom Brady, who's 39 years old. We talked about the Jimmy Garoppolo options, and they did use a third rounder this past year on Jacoby Brissett. So, it seems like they are just going to move on from Garoppolo if they get the price they want. They don't have to move him. They get the price they want.
Right.
They move on. Brissett, they continue to develop.
Brady doesn't seem like he wants to leave anytime soon anyway.
So,
and
maybe
his cap hit's not is far from terrible. He keeps redoing it for the team.
Yeah, because he's got the handshake deal with Bob
Kraft. You
know
what the estimated cap space for New England is next year? Close to $70 million. My God.
That's a lot of... that's an Alshon Jeffrey and a...
that's whatever they want.
That's a DeSean Jackson. That's a... That's a Pierre Garçon.
I don't see DeSean Jackson and Bill Belichick meshing all that.
I didn't see Chad Johnson either, but
I'll give you that as well. You're right.
Randy Moss.
Didn't see Randy Moss going.
So Martellus Bennett was a guy that had some attitude question marks. He seems to love it there. So teams likely to stay the course until they don't is the title of this one. That's the Broncos and the Chiefs. He has in here. See if there's anybody else there. Yeah, a few more. Miami and Washington. We've beat Washington dead. The odds seem to favor Miami giving Ryan Tannehill another season. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
He's more than $14 million in 2017. Salary becomes fully guaranteed if he's on the roster after March 13. I don't see the Dolphins making
it. Although, one interesting thing there is, as far as Tannehill is concerned, they still haven't said that surgery is not going to be necessary here. What's going on here?
I don't know.
This injury happened 6 weeks ago. Why do you still not know? Because the longer you wait.
That's what happened with Colin Kaepernick. We waited on that surgery.
Shoulder. It was a different kind of surgery.
Yeah.
But AC, he has damage to the ACL. We know he has a tear. Sprain is a tear, everybody. All right. Yeah. It's just a degree of tear. If they end up needing reconstruction, generally that's 6 to 8 months. Granted, for a quarterback, you don't need the mobility you do of a wide receiver or running back.
Should be already done.
Right. This is 6 weeks here. Why is it taking so long?
Give him 8
here?
Months to get back.
We're already in February here. Now you're sort of bordering on him missing training camp. You know, or not being at full speed. That's just not smart in my mind. Who's making these decisions here? Tannehill, man, $20 million cap hit next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, 14 fully guaranteed. 35-year-old Phil Los Angeles Chargers. It's going to be funny to read that moving forward. Well, I'm sure we'll get that wrong plenty of times. The 35-year-old Phil Rivers signed through 2019 with a no-trade clause. And $11 million in 2017 salary that becomes guaranteed this offseason. That's actually not a bad cap hit. Not going anywhere anytime soon unless he opts for retirement. The Chargers need to plan ahead. I heard a crazy Phil Rivers rumor that I can't even bring up, but it's all about like Phil Rivers not wanting to be in L.A. and wanting to move on. We had heard that beforehand, but
he said he's fine.
Even recently, yeah.
Maybe he's okay with it.
He'll be fine. He doesn't have to live. You know, he might not want to deal with Los Angeles, but it's not a terrible place to live, especially if you're in the burbs and all that kind of stuff. So Rivers leads the league in interceptions over the past 3 seasons.
I wonder how happy he is that he's going to be playing in that crap stadium for a couple of years. His career may be over by the time they get to Los Angeles, so it may not matter.
I think you're right.
Right? His career may be over at San Diego. Los Angeles, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Then
with the Chargers.
With the Chargers, yes.
That's the best way to do it. Yeah, we'll see. They're playing in the soccer stadium for the next 2 years, which is, honestly, I don't think is a bad idea because we don't know how the fan base situation is going to work out.
Doesn't that pretty much tell you all you need to know about how much ticket sales matter?
Oh, yeah.
They really don't. It's all about the TV revenue.
Yeah.
No one's complaining about this, that they're going to a stadium. It's literally going to be about half.
Long term, the owner would complain if he had to stay there, but he knows there's a windfall at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the rainbow. The Saints, Drew Brees, you know, Garrett Grayson is a 2015 third round pick, but he was on the practice squad guy. So Drew Brees is there for as long as he wants to be, but there's not. I mean, that's going to be a team that's going to need to plan ahead pretty soon, you know, next couple of years.
More teams should probably do what the Packers used to be a big believer in. Not necessarily every year, but maybe every other year. Draft a quarterback in the mid-rounds.
The Pats actually do that, too.
Right. Same thing. It works. You're not going to always hit on these guys, but once you do, it's by far the most important position. When you have a guy up in his 30s who's going to be leaving in 4 or 5 years, you need to... You know, you can't assume you're going to get lucky every year. The Packers got lucky when Favre left that Rodgers was sitting there. You know, the Colts got lucky when Peyton Manning had the one injured year that he was out. They were going to get the number one overall pick in Andrew Luck. This doesn't happen. Look at these teams that we can talk about that always have quarterback issues. Year after year after year. I'm a Cowboy fan. They were lost without when Aikman went down for almost a decade.
Yep.
Until they got lucky with Tony Romo.
Yep.
You know, it's and then Dallas really stepped in it by drafting Dak Prescott. In the fourth round, they got him. Dallas didn't know they were getting this good a quarterback.
Of course not. Chip Kelly knew, but Dallas didn't. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the Giants and the Steelers are actually really in the same exact predicament. Forget what Ben said earlier this week. I think you could see that
Drama Queen.
There's not. I think you could see there's not a lot of time. Not a lot of time left. For him, Landry Jones isn't going to be the guy. But that's why they picked up like Zach Mettenberger, and they're trying to find somebody long term.
You're trying to develop somebody.
Those guys are really more, frankly, injury backups than they are developmental projects. I mean, Zach Mettenberger has 10 starts, more than 10 starts over the last 3 seasons, and he's one of 43 quarterbacks with at least 10 starts over the last 3 seasons. Of those, he's the only one that's winless. So really not a great resume, but what are you going to do? He was on a miserable Titans team. And then, you know, beyond that, we're talking about guys that are locked in, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco and Cam Newton, Andy Dalton. A.J. McCarron is going to be a guy. He's under contract through 2017. If somebody wanted to search for a deal for A.J. McCarron, they probably could, but who really would do that? We talked about Romo, you know, and we on and on and on. We have guys that are really just locked in and figuring out what to do long term. I don't know, but the cap hit we just talked about earlier isn't that bad. They could, you could. It's really, I think, as this writer Mike Sando phrased it, it's a got to do something, but it's not clear yet what. But they do have the option to hang on to Kaepernick for $14.5 million for one season.
Just obviously, depending on if Shanahan wants to hold on to him, his cap hit's also $20 million next year.
By the way, I think this is going to be unlike what happened with the Chip Kelly situation. I think the answer for Shanahan is going to be very clear. He's going to take over next Monday. And by Tuesday, you're going to have an answer, internally at least,
of
what to do
to
with Kaepernick. He's going to be like, yeah, I'll work with that guy for a year and we'll figure it out. We'll draft somebody early, second pick in the draft.
But it'll come down to what's the plan. Is it draft? Is it trading for one of the guys? Is it signing? I can't believe it'll be if signing a veteran. What's the point? That team's not going. I mean, I can understand why Josh McDaniel didn't want to go here.
Yeah, they don't.
It's a couple of years away. I mean, ugh.
Plus, you got to have a situation where McDaniels is either going to know the GM or it can bring the GM with him. That's what somebody like a New England guy is going to do.
But they also wouldn't.
McDaniels saw what happened.
McDaniel also knows, I got New England. We're going to be good for another two, three. Every year, I'll be in the mix.
Yeah.
For all Shanahan knows, next year Atlanta trails off some. And now he's not the hot assistant. He has to take the job. I get it.
That's right.
I think McDaniel realizes, I can wait. I'll be in just as good a position next year, maybe get a team I like better.
That's right. So we'll talk about a little bit more about that and wrap up after the break. It's Mike and George till 10 o'clock. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike and George till 10. After this show wraps up, it's going to run it back for 3 hours, so you get to listen to prop bets and all that kind of stuff. You know, one thing I was looking at, George, here was MLB prospects, and MLB.com came out with their top 100 prospects. And you and I, both being Yankees fans, it's been a little bit since we've had as bright an outlook as we have on the prospect list, but looking good. It looks like Gleyber Torres is the number 3 overall MLB prospect and Clint Frazier at number 24. So what do you think, just to dip our toe in the water of this, what do you think are the prospects for those guys for the Yankees this season, or at least their short-term Yankee future?
Well, the Yankees are loaded as far as the minor league system is concerned. Unfortunately, none of those guys are going to make a true impact this season. I don't know if any of them actually gets called up.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, Torres, no.
Torres is blocked right now.
He's not blocked.
You don't think?
He's a super prospect. There's nobody blocking Torres. God. All right, those guys, you know, I like Didi Gregorius has been very good.
He has been.
But he's not blocking anybody.
Well, I guess to your point, if Torres tears it up like you expect him to tear it up, they're saying we got to move aside.
He's turning up almost at every level. He's a legitimate prospect.
Yeah.
All right. And listen, this is not yelling at the Cubs or anything for making the deal. You won the World Series. You got you got Chapman. Do what you got to do. You know, that's the way it is in today's baseball. But for the Yankees, they're loaded with shortstop prospects. Mateo, his hitting hasn't come around yet. He actually may be more of a center fielder in the future with speed rather than power. But the Yankees are looking good. They have several others, too. You mentioned Clint Frazier, who has the bat speed to match anyone. You got Justin Sheffield, Caprillion, Blake Rutherford.
Blake Rutherford's 37, Justice Sheffield 79, Aaron Judge 45, Caprillion 48.
Yeah, they're Yankees loaded.
Their last three first-round picks, to the Yankees' credit, are all top 50 MLB prospects, according to this list.
Yankees are going to be you look for the Yankees. This year they'll compete somewhat this year, but you know they're not going anywhere. Next year maybe more of the same, but keep in mind, after this year, you know, CC Sabathia's contract comes off. A-Rod's contract is off. Because A-Rod's not with the team. Yankees still paying him. You know, but both those contracts are dead. Wait till Manny Machado becomes available after next season. They're going to make a big run at him because that Chase Headley contract also goes away after next season. So Yankees going to be very much back in the business of spending because they'll be well below the luxury cap. They'll spend money. I still think I'd be pretty surprised if Bryce Harper is not a Yankee in 19. I think it's going to be a $400 million contract. There'll be very few teams who can afford that. Yankees will be one of them, and once again, because of everything they've done with these youngsters, they'll be able to do that without killing their luxury tax.
obviously it'd be a difficult thing to predict, but could you see a Machado and a Harper spend both by the Yankees piecing it in with these other younger players?
That's the hard thing. A few people asked this before. Can they get both? I don't know if they can get, but they may have to take one or the other.
And if they prioritized, you would say it would be Harper over Machado for them?
Harper is the probably going to be the better overall player, but third base is something the Yankees don't have. They have, you mentioned Aaron Judge,
that's right.
Rutherford,
Frazier.
I would tell you that you need the third baseman more than you need the outfielder. So Machado would be cheaper. You know, he's probably more, he may be half the price, actually. Still going to be a whopping amount of money, but he may be half the price there.
Considering the number of outfield prospects that they have, but man, you know they're going to love, they would love to have him there.
Of course they would love to have. Harper is somebody you market around.
Yeah.
He's your Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
It's all over again. And he would.
And he can't pull the Yankees away from that as much as they try to. The Leopards can't change their spots in this instance.
No, and
right?
You love the fact that he's a left-handed hitter with that short porch there.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense.
Do you attribute one thing in particular to Harper's drop-off last year?
I think he was hurt. The shoulder was bothering him much more than they were willing to say. I think he's a young kid still.
I agree.
When he's afraid, he's only 26 years old.
I mean, he won the MVP. People jump all over him. It's like, why don't you just let him sort it out? This over time, I think we're going to get what you want to get out of Harper. Obviously.
Yeah, he's going to be a great player. Yeah. But like I said, I'm not wearing fantasy wise. He's falling to the end of the first round. I'm not afraid of him. I'll take him. If he went forward number 9 to me, I'll take him and take my chances with him. I mean, yeah, last year was a down year, no doubt. Only batted what. 243, only had the still had 24 home runs, 86 ribbies. I'll take that. 21 stolen bases, stole the most, had the most steals in his career, so he's running some. But I think as far as the 243 batting average, what we're most concerned about with. And I think he's pulling off both. I think the shoulder was bothering him. I think he'll be back to having a big season this year.
Yeah, a couple other teams that availed themselves well in this top 100. The Braves had 7 prospects. The White Sox had 6.
Both from Boston.
Atlanta. They'd have a point system by which they do this. And 3 players in the top 20 alone for the White Sox, Yoan Moncada, Lucas Giolito, and Michael Kopech, all acquired in those trades. Ronaldo Lopez, also a trade acquisition, gave them a 4th top 50 guy. So any thoughts about that? Moncada we've been hearing about for quite a while, and Giolito as well. So thoughts about them getting into the mix in the short term?
Moncada's also the real deal. His problem is going to be where to play him. You know, he's not a shortstop. Not really a second baseman, too stiff for there. They think third base, because you don't need to be, you're not running it for ground balls as much at third. You can play a little bit more stiff there. But some people also believe it's going to be center field. He's got speed, can run, he's built like a linebacker. You do not want to get hit by this guy. So he may end up being center field, but he'll hit, especially in Chicago. Everybody hits in Chicago, so he's a legit prospect. You mentioned Giolito. The problem with Giolito, I mean, many people, including me, were surprised about that deal. Yeah, Giolito and the other product guys you named for Adam Eaton. Eaton's a nice player.
Yeah.
But, man, you're giving up a... Remember, The Nationals wouldn't give Giolito to the Yankees.
I know.
For either one of the relievers.
For Miller or Chapman.
They regarded him that high. Then all of a sudden, his value went down. They changed it. And this is what happened in so many organizations. They changed the delivery of these pitchers. And then all of a sudden, the pitchers don't pitch as well. They lose velocity. Well, you change their delivery. And I understand sometimes you have to change their delivery because you're afraid of the elbow injury. You're afraid of the shoulder injury. But sometimes it screws them up. And then you wonder why their value dropped. That seems to be what happened here. They did at the end of the season put him back to his normal delivery. The speed went back up there. Giolito would be interesting to see if he pans out. I would have preferred him in Washington, obviously. Mm-hmm. National League, weaker lineups, bigger ballpark. Chicago, American League teams can hit. Shorter ballpark, ball flies out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Not too interested in taking Giolito in standard leagues this year as nothing more than a flyer. Dartboard throw, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the Sox seem to want to hold on to Moncada for as long as they could, but when the name Chris Sale comes up, that's when you give up your top prospect.
Red Sox did the right thing. They're loaded. But they still got Devers. They got plenty of prospects down there in Boston. And they had no place for them on the Major League team anyway. You know, so I have no problem doing what Boston did. You got Bogart at short. You have a couple of great outfielders. You already got Betts. Bradley came around last year.
Benintendi's legit. He's the number one prospect on this board.
Right. So Boston is loaded. They could afford to do what they did, and they got one of the best pitchers in the American League, if not the best.
Yeah, Dansby Swanson is number four. He's obviously acquired in trade on the Braves. As you go, Ahmed Rosario for the Mets, Alex Reyes, pitcher for the Cardinals, right-handed pitcher, and then J.P. Crawford from the Phillies, Victor Robles, outfielder for the Nationals. So that's number eight. I'll just round out the top ten quick. Tyler Glasnow, right-handed pitcher for the Pirates, and Austin Meadows, also with the Pirates. So any of those guys, big impacts this year. Benintendi, we saw a little bit
Benintendi is going to be he's a legitimate draft pick. Yeah. Outfielder two, I would say. Outfielder three at worst. Robles will be no. He's not going to play. Glasnow should get into the rotation for Pittsburgh. Could do some damage. David, no more than an SP 4 or 5.
Yeah, we'll spend some more time on this next week. Just wanted to have some fun today with Super Bowl parties and all that kind of stuff. We had the Pro Bowl coming up today. Feel free to watch the endless loop of the skills challenge that we see right there. George and I will be back here next Saturday and Sunday. Don't know what the schedule is going to be for next Sunday. I don't know if we're going to mix it up with any kind of game day shows or any of that kind of stuff, but I expect George and I to be right here in Rock and Riley's next Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk about the MLB prospects. We'll really dive into the Super Bowl even more, although I don't know much more we're going to be able to talk about because you're going to talk yourself out all this week, as will I. Thank you to Pete Considori. Thank you to George Kurtz. Thank you for everybody that listened to us today. Thank you for the tweets. Appreciate you spending some time with us on this Sunday morning. We'll be back next week. Listen to us for the next 3 hours right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks. Have a good week, folks.